Good afternoon. I'm Rosemary Frasso from the University of Pennsylvania, and I'm representing my colleagues in sharing this work with you today. So the topic today is preteen literacy and subsequent teenage childbearing. I have no disclosures to make at this time. So literacy and teenage childbearing. Literacy, and low literacy in particular, has long been associated with poor health outcomes, poor educational outcomes, and poor economic outcomes. And we see some of the same associations with teen childbearing. We know that it's been associated with low health outcomes for both the mother and the child, poor educational outcomes for both the mother and the child, and again, economic compromise for both mom and child. There's an association between literacy and teenage childbearing that's been well established in the developing world, and here in the U.S., we've kind of taken it for granted and not explored it very deeply. So in the U.S., population links between literacy and childbearing have really been not well understood. So teen childbearing has decreased. This is an oddly large microphone. I feel it's going to attack me. Teen childbearing has decreased over time. However, racial and ethnic disparities persist. So among every 1,000 births in this teen child, in this teen cohort, 25.6 might be for white children, for white teens, 59 for African American, and some 70.1 for Latinas. The study goals in our work was to assess the contribution of preteen literacy to the risk of teen childbearing, and we wanted to see if race and ethnic differences in literacy are associated with differences in teen childbearing. We also wanted to examine the interactions between teen childbearing and reading skill, race, ethnicity, and teen childbearing, controlling for other socio-demographic and neighborhood-level variables associated with teen childbearing. So the way we did this is we constructed a prospective cohort using administrative data. In the city of Philadelphia, everyone gets a reading assessment in seventh grade, so we had access to that data for a large number of girls. We also had birth records for the state of Pennsylvania, and we had neighborhood-level records from utility companies and U.S. Census data, and together we built a cohort. We had IRB approval for this work. So our study timeline is a little complex. But in the academic years 96 and 97 and 97 and 98, we had access to those reading scores. And then we followed these girls for 6 years to see what would happen and how many of them would have had a child. This is a description of how our sample was constructed. So 13,300 girls should have had the reading assessment in seventh grade. Three of those girls fell out of our age criteria and were eliminated from the analysis. Another 452 had missing reading scores, so we were unable to include them in the analysis. And some 509 had no address, making it hard to link their records to the birth certificate data, so they too were excluded. So we ended up with an analytic sample of 12,339 girls. Our primary independent variables were race, which was self-identified at the school-level record, and it was white, African-American, Latina, or other, and in this population, many of the Latina girls were primarily Puerto Rican. Preteen reading skill, which was assessed with the Stanford Achievement Test version 9. So the Stanford Achievement Test is used across the country in school districts and is normed against national references. So it's broken down into three groups, and this is how we structured our analysis. So children who score above the 76th percentile were considered to have above average reading skill. Children in between the 24th and 75th percentile were considered average. And below average were those who fell below the 23rd percentile. And I've kind of stuck to this yellow, blue, and green to make it easier to follow as we go forward. So the dependent variables were teen child pairing. Presence of an individually matched birth certificate of live birth in Pennsylvania, and we got this from the Department of Public Health records, and the birth had to occur before the child was 20 years of age. And a secondary dependent variable was high school graduation. And we define this as the receipt of a diploma in the period of 2000 to 2005. And we gave a little window here, latitude. So you could graduate early and we'd still capture you, and you could graduate late and we would still be able to capture you in our analysis. So reading skill in this group, there was 14% of our sample were reading at the above average range. Some 60% were in the average range, and 26% were in the below average range. When we took teen childbearing into the analysis, we can see that it varied by reading score. So among the above average readers, 5% of them had one birth in the 6-year window that we were analyzing, and 0.4% of them had 2+ births. For the average readers, we had one birth, or 12%, and 1% had 2+ births. In the below average category, 21% of the poor readers were having children, at least one child in the 6-year window, and some 3% were having 2 or more births in that time frame. So when you compare the above average readers to the below average readers, this was a pretty significant finding. Then we started to calculate the hazard ratios, and we can tell you that being an above average reader was protective with 1/4 the hazard associated in that group, and for those that with the below average reading scores, your risk of having a teen childbirth was 2.5%. And I want to remind you all that we're not talking about pregnancy, because we had no way to calculate or measure pregnancy. We only know what we know from the birth certificate data, which is actually a delivered and live birth. And again, pretty dramatic when you compare the two extremes here. So the results in table form, we had 12,339 in our sample. We had 1,616 births of one child and 201 who had 2 or more children. Twins were counted in the first number. And the mean age at the time of the reading score was between 11 and 12. And by race ethnicity, we see significant differences in where folks fall in terms of reading score. So certainly the poor readers, African Americans, were overrepresented among the poorest readers, as were Hispanics and Latinas. And the poor readers were overrepresented among those who did not complete high school. School block group measures. We had this demographic data, but not individual level. We could only tell you a little bit about the place where the school was and what were the environments around the school that these girls were, where they were studying and where they were getting their education. And again, when we look at something like the number of dangerous buildings or the percent of dangerous buildings and the percent of vacant buildings, much higher for those poor readers who were certainly studying in environments that were falling into this category of distress. So the frailty curve really helps sort of graphically display what's going on here. We see clearly that below average readers have a higher risk of having a pregnancy before age 20 than their better readers and their below average readers, I mean the above average readers. And when we break it down by race, it even looks more dramatic. So the findings are that there's significant interaction between preteen reading skill and race and ethnicity, and the hazard of childbearing for girls with average and below average reading level was greater among African Americans and Hispanic girls than it was for white girls. So the hazard ratios are here. We controlled for the following census block measures. We had poverty area status, proportion of female unemployment, proportion of female education below 9th grade, the proportion of block groups with white and non-Hispanic portion of residents that were foreign-born, and the proportion of houses that were vacant. And the reference group was always going to be these average readers. So again, to pull back up the frailty curve, looking at the whole group, we see again that the below average readers were much more likely to have a child before age 20. And when we break it down, we look at the whites independently and the African Americans, we see the curve much more dramatically dipping. And again, for Latinas, a very strong association between reading and childbearing. So the strengths and limitation of this study. So this was the only study that we know that looks at the magnitude of risk of teenage childbearing associated with preteen literacy levels, allowing us to predict maybe in 7th grade who is at the greatest risk for becoming a mom before they're 20. This was administrative data, and there's all kinds of limitations with administrative data. When it was collected, nobody was thinking about what this analysis would entail and what we wanted to do with the data. The birth data were limited to records, to the records that we had access to. So if someone left Philadelphia, then we wouldn't know if they had a child or not. However, they're still in the denominator, so it's likely that we're undercounting the births as opposed to overcounting anything here. Linking can be really challenging, but we have a team of folks at the University of Pennsylvania that does a lot of stuff with administrative data and connecting the records to the children based on mathematical modeling and other issues that, other identifying factors in each record that could bring them together. So we felt very comfortable that we did a good job linking the data. And we employed several levels of poverty measurements, but they were neighborhood-level factors. We didn't have any individual data for the girls in the sample. So to discuss what's going on here, we really feel like understanding the impact of literacy on teen childbearing could impact the way interventions are designed to reduce childbearing in this population. But also, importantly, if we know children who end up having children are going to be poor readers, educational programs around parenting should be geared and designed with the literacy level of the mothers in mind. Health educators working with teens should consider literacy when developing information for this population, and it's simply one more reason to invest in education in this country when we appreciate this impact of literacy along the life course. Thanks. This work was supported by a grant from the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation and the Society Scholars Program at the University of Pennsylvania.